conversations that you connect with and react to. SAFM.
Right, Tessa Dooms is with us. She's a director of programs at the Rivonia Circle. And by the way, they put together some really important programs on, you know, not who you should vote for, but why you should vote and why it's that important. So do follow them on their website, but also on their social media platforms. But Tessa is also a political analyst, and she's put together something really interesting in terms of her tweets yesterday that I thought, you know, if I have a point, well, what's Tessa's point around this issue? So Tessa, good chatting to you, and thanks for joining us here on the National Pulse.
Thank you so much, Ashraf, for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you tweeted, and I still use the word tweet as opposed to X because it doesn't sound right with an X, right? About this connection between a connection or disconnection between a functional economy and a functional state. And I thought, I want to pick your brain on this. So you tell me, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, so oftentimes when we talk about the economy, we talk about it in isolation of government. So people will say we need the economy to grow, we need the economy to function, but we don't often think about the fact that the state is not only an economic role player by virtue of, the role it plays regulatorily or the role it plays even as, you know, a state-owned entity, but also the state provides the basis for the economy, like it provides the basis for society, the basis for family, et cetera. And so when we say we want the economy to thrive, we must consider the state and the government and the country in which that economy is running and know that the state of that country will determine the health of that economy one way or the other. You need a functioning state before you can think about having a functioning economy.
And do I take it that's particularly important in the build-up to the election? And we are talking about a failing economy. Never mind, South Africa's been rated Africa's number one again. We're talking about a failing economy. There's evidence of multiple examples of a state failing. But therefore, in the build-up to the election, the issue of a state that is functional is even more critical, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it should influence our voting choices. When we look at the ways in which politicians, independent candidates, view the relationship between the state and the economy. So there are very many people who think that if you want the country to thrive, what you need to do is have a focus on growing the economy. For some people, that means that the state itself must be the role player that grows the economy, that ensures that businesses thrive, that ensures that jobs are created. For other people, they believe that they want to put people into government so that government can get out of the economy. And so there's a narrative that says, we want to put people into government who will just leave the economy alone. And that's generally people who think of the economy as a free market. For example, think about the economy as self-regulating and the state needing to get out of the way so the economy can function. And I think for both of those views, whether you think that the state should lead and be very interventionist in the economy, or whether you believe that the economy should self-regulate, in either instance, you need a strong state. And one of the points that I make, particularly for people who are free marketers and this idea that the state, that the market will just regulate itself, The truth is that in every society in the world, including highly capitalist societies like the U.S., the state needs to create regulations to create the field of economic play. And so there is no such thing in real terms as a free economy that's free of constraints. So you need to ask yourself, what kind of policies and regulations will be put in place? Who will be putting those regulations in place and to what end? But more importantly, and this is why the view that I take of a more interventionist state, before you can have a market where everybody is playing and engaging economically, you actually need a stable environment, and you need to be able to create access and make it possible for people to participate. So that looks at a number of issues. Number one, can the state keep people alive and well? Can the state provide the basic essentials that we need as human beings to be alive and to be well? Because it doesn't matter that you have an economy that's open if you have people who are too sick and not able to participate. But on the second part of it, you also need economic infrastructure that enables people's participation. So things like roads, things like transportation, you need sports. You need all sorts of things that make it possible for people to interact, to transact, to create, all of those things. And so you need a state that can function to do those basic things right, so that we all have a jumping point. And I'll make the point as simple as this. A young man was saying to me a few years ago that he was looking for employment, but he found himself homeless. And said, who will employ someone who doesn't even have a home? And that's why it's really important that we think about the entire ecosystem of our society as the launching pad for economic participation, and the state is central to that.
Well, that's a good point, because I mean, one of the things you say in your tweets is don't give up on government. So as you mentioned that, what then for you? So you do talk about this connection between state and the economy. What then is your perspective of the current ratio, if I can put it that way, between state and economy, and how do you see that shaping up going forward that will be the best for the majority of South Africans?
Sure. So a worrying trend for me, and that's why I say don't opt out of government, is an opting out of government in a highly unequal society. So as we have gone through various stages of our democracy, I think we've gotten to a point in the last 5 to 10 years where we've seen more and more private industry taking up very basic functions, right? So basic service functions. So increase in private education, increase in private healthcare. I think one of the things that startled me was when I realized there are more private security officers than police officers in South Africa.
That's incredible.
And there are now
also
fire stations that are becoming privatized. Things that are very, very core to our health and well-being are being privatized. And that's a result of two things, right? One is that the resources that have been going into the state have not been well used. And so people are saying, well, I'm putting resources into the state that should be providing some of these basic essentials for me to live, but I'm not getting those out. So what I'm going to do is look for alternatives. That's created markets for things like healthcare, education, even water and sanitation. Electricity now has become one of those things that's becoming privatized. The danger with that is twofold. One is that you are directing away resources from the state into the private sector, or you're doubling down resources for a growing part of the population, where people are paying the state to produce services, and then the state doesn't deliver on those services, so they have to pay somebody else to produce those services too. And those are for the people who can afford it.
Yeah.
For the people who cannot afford it, what you then do, because also the state has a rebate system, right, in our tax. So if you pay for your own medical aid, if you're paying for your own education, the state gives you that money back now in rebate with taxes. So you have less and less money available for the state to service the majority of people. Mm-hmm. And in a case where we have over 50% unemployment, that really leaves a lot of people vulnerable, and there's less incentive for the state to act right and do the things it needs to do, because the people with money are often the people with most power and the most power to speak back to the state. And so if they are not invested in the state for those things, the state has less incentive to act on the behalf of the majority.
Now, you also know that, you know, when we look at many of these state-owned enterprises, you know, starting from Eskom to SAA, all very, very topical right now, that can go down to issues around water and everything else, the default then answer to say, well, you see, that's what happens when government runs all these places. So this move towards creating privatization, as you've just given the examples of with security, is understandable. But you're saying, in fact, it's wrong, and you're suggesting it's, in broad speak, it's a myth that private institutions are better and more efficient. Tell me why you say so.
Yeah, so there's an idea that private is inherently better and that government is inherently bad, inherently inefficient. And my view is that both private sector companies or NGOs and government as public are both run by South Africans. They run by us, by people like us. And so if people like us can create efficient companies and efficient NGOs, why can we not create an efficient state? It's because the people who are in the state are not running it efficiently, are not creating an efficient state. We're not demanding an efficient state, and we're not voting for people who will create an efficient state. And we're not willing to be the people who will run an efficient state, even though we will run companies absolutely efficiently. We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard when it comes to government. And again, this is the not giving up on government part.
Mm.
We can't give up on something that is so central, not only to our economy, but central to our ability to live in a coherent society that works, in a society that responds. I was saying yesterday as well that the same people who are, you know, who say you need less regulation from the state on the market are the same people who will tell you they want more policing from the state.
Mm-hmm.
They want more rules and regulations in terms of how society functions so that their economies can work. One of the things that I found quite disturbing in the last few months interacting with communities is the realization that people are struggling to open small businesses and run their businesses efficiently because of two factors. One is electricity and the other is crime.
Yeah.
And so the state has to intervene on, and regulate those two things. So business must also want us to regulate that. But that also means that the state can and should be regulating the way we relate to each other in the market. Either way, the state needs to be efficient and we can make it so if we choose to.
All right, you've got 30 seconds. We're on to news time. Here's the thing. You spoke about demanding an efficient state. Are we not demanding an efficient state? Do we, you know, I talk about building a champion nation. You're talking about getting things right. Others talk about different things. Are we not demanding an efficient state? And B, in what is possibly going to be a coalition government, are we able, as a coalition government, able to deliver an efficient state? And you've got 30 seconds to answer that question.
My favorite thing about the state is that it's not only politicians who run it, it's bureaucrats as well. And the depoliticization of the state machinery on all levels is one of the things we must demand from politicians. Politicians provide oversight, but we need to get bureaucrats that are not there as proxy politicians. And I think we'll be a step ahead in the fight to have a better state.
Well, that's where we can leave it. Certainly got us thinking, and that's really the plan in understanding the national pulse, right? Tessa Dooms, feel free, by the way, to tweet out some further thoughts coming on the back of this conversation. I'll certainly, if you tag myself and SFM Radio, we will certainly share that too. Follow Tessa Dooms on Twitter as well. In fact, we've just tagged there right away now.